In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. O Lord, thou art my refuge. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Show forth thy mercy in the morning. How beloved are thy habitations, O Lord of armies. My soul is eager and is even all consumed for the court of the Lord. Even the bird has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may put her hatchlings. Thine altars, O Lord of armies, my King and my God. Happy are they who dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Our Father,
who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on the earth. Give us this day
O Lord, forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive
those. Hear the word of the Lord as it is written in the sacred scripture and in the heavenly doctrine of the New Jerusalem. From Psalm 128, a song of going up. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways, for he shall eat of the labor of his hands. Happy art thou, and it is well with thee. Thy wife is as a fruitful vine by the flanks of thy house, thy sons as olive plants around thy table. And behold, that thus shall be the mighty man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life, and thou shalt see the sons of thy sons. Peace upon Israel. We read further from the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6. Treasure not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moth and rust consume, and where thieves dig through and steal. But treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not dig through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Therefore I say to you, be not anxious for your soul, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on. Is not the soul more than food, and the body than clothing? Look to the birds of the heavens, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? And why are you anxious about clothing? Learn of the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of those. And if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be arrayed? For all these things to the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his justice, and all these things shall be added to you. We also read from the book Heaven and Hell about what the wise and intelligent do there. To show what things are there that appear to the angels in accordance with correspondences, I will here mention only one, only for the sake of illustration, by those who are intelligent, gardens and parks full of trees and of flowers of every kind are seen. There the intelligent walk and gather flowers and weave garlands with which they adorn little children. Moreover, there are kinds of trees and flowers there that are never seen and cannot exist on earth. The trees bear fruit that are in accordance with the good of love in which the intelligent are. These things are seen by them because a garden or a park and fruit trees and flowers correspond to intelligence and wisdom. That there are such things in heaven is known also on earth, but only to those who are in good and who have not extinguished in themselves the light of heaven by means of natural light and its fallacies. For when such think about heaven, they say that there are such things there that the ear has not heard and the eye has not seen. Finally, we read a memorable relation about the wives sitting at the fountain in a rose garden. I was once looking through a window toward the east and saw seven women sitting on the bank of roses by a certain fountain drinking water. I looked intently to see what they were doing, and the intentness of my gaze affected them. Whereupon one of them by nod invited me, and I left the house and speedily went to them. And when I arrived, I asked politely from whence they came. They said, "We are wives, and are having a conversation here about the delights of conjugal love. And from much conversation, we conclude that those delights are also the delights of wisdom." This answer so delighted me, my mind, that I seemed to myself to be in the spirit, and thence to be more interior and clearer perception than at any other time before. Whereupon I asked them, "Permit an interchange of questions on these pleasantnesses." They nodded assent, and I asked, "How do you wives know that the delights of conjugal love are the same as the delights of wisdom?" They replied, "We know it from the correspondence of the wisdom with our husbands to the delights of conjugal love in us. For the delights of this love with us are exalted and diminished and are altogether qualified according to the wisdom of our husbands." And then at the end of the conversation, it says, "There appeared afar off, as it were, a dove with a leaf of a tree in its mouth. But as it came near, in place of a dove, was seen a little boy with a paper in his hand. And coming up to us, he held it out to me and said, 'Read this to the virgins of the fountain.' And I read these words, 'Tell the inhabitants of the earth, with whom you are, that there is love truly conjugal, the delights of which are myriads, scarcely any of which the world as yet knows. But it will know them when the church betroths herself to her Lord and marries.'" And I then asked, "Why did the boy call you virgins of the fountain?" They replied, "We are called virgins when we are sitting at the fountain because we are the affections of the truths of our husbands, our husband's wisdom. And the affection of truth is called a virgin. A fountain also signifies the truth of wisdom, and the bank of roses upon which we are sitting signifies its delights." Then one of those seven twined a wreath of roses and sprinkled it with water of the fountain and placed it on the boy's cap around his little head and said, "Receive the delights of intelligence. Know that the cap signifies intelligence and a wreath from this rosebed, the delights of it." And decorated with these, the boy went away, and at a distance appeared again like a dove, but with a chaplet on his head. Amen. Here end our readings. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.